The Irish Schoolmaster. Alack, 'tis melancholy theme to think how learning doth in rugged states abide, and, like her bashful owl, obscurely blink in pensive glooms and corners, scarcely spied. Not as in Flanders halls and domes of pride, served with grave homage like a tragic queen, but with one lonely priest compelled to hide in mists of foggy moors and mosses green, in that clay cabin height, the College of Culrean. This college looketh south and west also, because it hath encast in windows twain, crazy and cracked they be, and wind doth blow through transparent holes in every pane, which Dan with many pains makes whole again, with neater garments which his thrift doth teach to stand for glass like pronouns, and when rain stormeth he puts once more onto the breach. Outside and in there broke, yet so he mended each, and in mists a little door there is, whereupon a board that doth conjugate with painted letters red as blood I wis, thus written, children taken to bed, and oft indeed the inward of the gate most ventriquil doth under tender squeak the moans of infants that bemoaned our fate in mists of sounds of Latin, French, and Greek, which all I the Irish tongue he teacheth them to speak. For some are meant to right legal wrongs, and some for doctors of divine, whom he doth teach to murder the dead tongues, and so win academical degree. But some are bred for service of sea, howbeit their store of learning is but small. For mickle waste he cometh would be to stock a head with bookish wares at all, only to be knocked off by rootless cannon ball. Six babes he sways, some little, some big, divided into classes six. Also he keeps a parlour border of a pig, that in the college forth to and fro, and picketh up urchin crumbs below, and eke the learned rudiments they scan, and thus his ABC doth wisely know, thereafter to be shown in caravan, and raised a wonderment of many a learned man. Also he skills some tame familiar fowls, whereof above his head some two or three sit darkly squatting like Minerva's elves, but on the branches of no living tree, and overlook the learned family, while sometimes Parlette from her gloomy perch drops feather on the nose of Dominie. Meanwhile with serious eye he makes research in leaves of that sere tree of knowledge, now a birch. No cherry hath the awful pedagogue hue, as would magisterial hams in bed, but sitteth lowly on a beechen log, secure in high authority and dread, large as a dome of learning seems his head, and like Apollo's all beset rays, because his locks are so unkempt and red, and stand abroad in many several ways, no laurel crown he wears, howbeit his cap is blaze, and underneath a pair of shaggy brows o'erhang as many eyes of gizzard hue, that inward giblet of a fowl which shows a mongrel tint that's knee brown, knee blue. His nose, it is a coral to the view, well nourished with Pyrenean poutine. For much he loves his native mountain dew, but to depict the dye would lack, I ween, a bottle red in terms as well as bottle green. As for his coat, 'tis such a jerkin short as Spenser had ere he composed his tales, but underneath he hath no vest nor aught, so that the wind his airy breast assails. Below he wears neither garb of mails of crimson plush, but none plushed at the knee. Hence further down the native red prevails of his own naked fleecy hosiery. Two sandals without soles complete his cap a pie. Nateless for dignity, he now doth lap his function in a mysterial gown that shares more countries than a map. Blue tintic and red and green and russet brown, beside some blots standing for country town, and eke some rents for streams and rivers wide, but sometimes bashful when he looks adown, he turns the garments of the other side, hopeful so that the holes may never be espied. And so he sits amidst the little pack that look for shady or for sunny noon within his visage like an almanac, his quiet smile foretelling gracious boon. But when his mouth droops down like a rainy moon, with horrid chill each little heart unwarms, knowing that infant showers will follow soon, and with foreboding of near wrath and storms, they sit like timid hares, all trembling on their forms. Ah, luckless wight, who cannot then repeat corduroy, colloquy, or key, keely, cod? Full soon his tears shall make his turfy seat more sodden, tow already made of sod, for Dan shall whip him with the word of God. Served by rule and not by nature's mild, he never spoils the child and spares the rod, but spoils the rod and never spares the child. And so with holy rule deem he is reconciled. But surely the just sky will never wink at men who take delight in childish troves, and stripe with neater urchin like a pink or tender hyacinth inscribed with woe. Such bloody pedagogues when they shall know by useless birches that forlorn recess with no holiday in pit below. Will hell not seem designed for their distress a melancholy place that is all bottomless? Yet would a muse not chill the wholesome news of needful discipline in due degree, the void of sway that wrongs will time produce, whener the twig untrained grows up a tree? This shall be candor, that a white boy be, ferocious leaders of atrocious bands, and learning helps be used for infamy by lawlessness clerks that with their bloody hands in murdered English rights rocks murderous commands. But What shrilly cry doth now alarms the sooty fowls that doze upon the beams, all sudden fluttering from brandished arms, and cracking chorus with human screams? Meanwhile the Scrooge plies that unkindly seam in Phelim brogues, which bears his naked skin like traitor's caps in warlike fort, I deem, that falsely lets the fiercest besieger in, nor seeks the pedagogues by their course to win. No parents dear he hath to heed his cries. Alas, his parent dear is far aloft, and deep in the Seven Dial cellar lies, killed by cudgel play or gin of proof, or climbeth catwise on some London roof, singing perchance in Lay of Erin's Isle, or whilst he labours waves a fancy woof, dreaming he sees his home, his Phelim smile. Ah me, that luckless imp who weepeth all the while. Ah, who can paint that hard and heavy time, when first the scholars lists in learning train, and mount her rugged steep and forced to climb, like sooty imp by sharp posterior pain, from bloody twig and eke that Indian cane, wherein, alas, no sugar juices dwell, for this the while one stripling sluices drain. Another weepeth over chilblains fell, always upon the heel, yet never to be well. Mounting face there rides the small one's moan, who, all lamenting for his loss, doth sit. Alack, mischance comes seldomness alone, but I, the worried dog, must rue more curs than one. Furlough, the pedagogue with sudden drub smites his scalded head that is already sore. Superficious wounds such as misfortunes rub, who straight makes answer with redoubled roar, and sheds salt tears twice faster than before. What still with backward fist he strives to dry, washing with blackish moisture o'er and o'er his muddy cheek that flows more foul thereby, till all his rainy face looks grim as rainy sky. So Dan, by dint of noise, obtains a piece, and with his natural untender knack, by new distress bids former grievance cease, like tears dried up with rugged huckaback that sets the mournful visage all a rack. Yet soon the childish condescence will shine, even as though storms the soonest slack. For grief and beef in adverse ways incline, this keeps that decays when duly soaked in brine. Now all is hushed, and with a look profound, the dominie lay up the learned page, so it be called, although he doth expound without a book both Greek and Latin sage. Now telleth he of Rome's rue infant age, how Romulus was bred in savage wood by wet nurse wolf, devoid of wolfish rage, and laid the foundation stone of walls of mud, bewatered it, alas, with warm fraternal blood. Anon he turns to that Homeric war, how Troy was sieged by Londonderry town, and how stout Achilles, at his jaunting car dragged a mighty Hector with a bloody crown, and eke the bard that sung of their renown in garb of Greece most beggar-like and torn. He paints with colly wounding ring up and down, because at once in seven cities born, and so of parish rites all his days forlorn. Anon, through old mythology he goes, of gods defunct and all their pedigrees, but shuns their scandalous amours, and shows how Pluto wise and clear-eyed Socrates confessed not to those heathens he's and she's, but through the clouds of Olympic cope behind St. Peter with his holy keys, and owned their own love was not, and bowed to the Pope, while through all their purblind race pagan mists did grope. From such quaint themes he turns at last aside to new philosophies that still are green, and shows what railroads have been tracked to guide the wheels of great political machine. If English corn should grow abroad, I ween, and gold be made of gold or paper sheets, how many pigs be born to such spleen, and how man shall thrive beyond his meat with 20 souls alive to one square sod of peat. Here he makes end, and all the fray of youth that stood around with serious look contents, close up again the gaping eyes and mouth which they had opened to his eloquence, as if their hearing were a threefold sense. But now the current of his words is gone, and whether any fruit shall spring from thence in future time with any mother's son, it is a thing, God wot, that can be told by none. Now by the creeping shadows of noon, the air has come to lay aside our lore. The cheerful pedagogue perceived it soon, and cries, "Begone!" unto the imps, and four snatched their two hats and struggled for the door, like ardent spirits vented from a cask, all blithe and boisterous, but leaves two more, with reading made up easy for a task, to weep whilst all their mates in merry sunshine bask, like sportive elfins on verdant sod, with tender moss so sleekly overgrown, that doth not hurt but kiss the soul unshod, so smoothly kind is Erin to her own. And one at hare and hound plays all alone, for Phelim's gone to tend his stepdame's cow. Ah, Phelim's stepdame is a crankered crone, whilst other twain play at an Irish row, and with shillelagh small break one another's brow. But careful Dominie, with ceaseless thrift, now changeth Frula for rural hoe. But first of all, with tender hand doth shift his college grown, because of stellar glow, and hangs it on a bush to scare the crow. Meanwhile he plants inert the dappled bean, or trains the young potatoes all a row, or plucks the fragrant leek for pottage green, with that crisp curly herb called kale in Aberdeen. and so he wisely spends the fruitful hours, linked to each other by labour like a bee, or rules in the learning hall, or trims her brows. Would there be many more such writhes as he, to sway each capital academic of Cam and Iris, for alack at each there dwells I wroth some dronish dominie that does no garden work, nor yet doth teach, but wears a flowered hand and talks in flowery speech.